Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It is a blessed Monday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. Once again, I'm grateful for Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, has given us opportunity once again to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all of you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at an email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So, wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Because once again, Lord God, you have blessed us to assemble together again. Therefore, Lord, once again, we invite your spirit to be with us. Therefore, Lord, release to us the understanding we need by the Holy Ghost. Help us, Lord God, this day to understand your plan, Lord God, the work that you're doing in these last days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Let's go in our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6. The book of Matthew, chapter 6. We are on the fifth and final part of this series titled The End Time Work, Restitution and Restoration, Revised. This is part 5. Glory be to God. And we have been looking at this work that has been declared by an angel of the Lord, and we've been told that this is the time, the period, for what is called the restitution, restoration of all things. And during this series, we have been looking at what does that mean. We have also looked at what are the things that has to be restituted or restored. And so we'll continue on with this fifth and final part today as we go into Matthew chapter 6. And glory be to God. I'm going to read verse 30 to verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30 to verse 33. And the word of God said, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." So the restitution, restoration of all things in a broad sense also includes even things that are natural, material things. That God said is going to be restored. God's going to have a hand in restoring to his people, okay? Amen. It includes natural things, not just spiritual things, but there are going to be a restoration of natural things to the people, okay? One definition I gave you, restitution means restoration to the rightful owner, okay? So there have been things been taken from God's people unjustly, and God said he's going to restore it. Amen. Glory be to God. So this extends to even material things. Amen. Glory be to God. Now, I want to turn your attention to something else too. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm going to turn your attention to something else too concerning this restitution, restoration work of the Lord that he mentioned. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And amen. You know, and as I get ready to go into the verses, one of the things I want to say, and I say this truthfulness of heart, Jesus Christ is the greatest teacher that you will ever come across. And what also had me in awe about him is that he can straightway teach you, or he can teach you through using things that you're familiar with. And many times, sometimes I put it this way, I'm more in awe about him when he used example of certain things to teach me a lesson, even concerning his word. You know, because it just be amazing to me that he would use such a thing to teach me. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, look what it said. It said, for the law having a shadow of good things, okay, a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the commerce thereunto perfect. So he said the law. Now, we're talking about here the law of Moses, or, you know, it's been referred to as the law of Moses back in the Old Testament. And we're told here that the law was a shadow of things to come. You know, when something is a shadow, it's not the actual thing, okay? Just like when you go out in the sun, your shadow appears. And if somebody was to run to your shadow and try to kick it and hit it, they ain't gonna hit nothing but air. Well, see, they ain't hitting you. They're just a reflection of you. And so the law that was given to Moses was a reflection of the true thing, okay? It wasn't the actual true thing, per se, the great thing that was going to be done or needed, but it was a reflection of it, okay? Now, keep that in mind as we go into the next verses here, okay? Now, let's go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Glory be to God. And I'm going to read verse 20 and 21. Acts chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now, look what the word says. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, that's interesting. Okay, verse 22, it said, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Now notice here that in dealing with this restitution of all things, we're told in the word here by Peter that God has spoken it by the mouth of all his holy prophets. Okay, now, when we're given that information, one of the places is pointing us to is to the Old Testament, because the Old Testament especially have the words of the prophets of the Lord, and the prophets of the Lord did speak about this work in this day and time. Okay, now I'm going somewhere with this. So let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 22. The book of Exodus chapter 22, and I want to read this here, because it's amazing how the Lord teaches. And sometimes God can be teaching us and we miss it. Sometimes we be focused, like when he's showing us something, sometimes we be focused more on the natural aspect of it instead of looking at it as a whole, which includes the spiritual. So, and so here in Exodus chapter 22, and we know that God, and this, you know, it's referred to many times, the law of Moses, but God gave this law through Moses, okay? And glory be to God, we read in Hebrews that the law was a shadow of the good things to come. It was a shadow, so it was a mere reflection. But see, also what it was too, it was a teaching tool, okay, that the children of Israel at that time missed it. And many of us today have missed it. Why? Because, as I said before, we have looked at the one side of it, of the just the natural aspect, and we don't try to look at the full side of it. Okay? Now, we have talked about among believers, okay, why did God give the law of Moses? Well, they said, well, because he had to give something to govern Israel because they were a stiff-necked people. Well, that's true. But that was not the only reason. Because when we look in the law that he gave through Moses, it actually was some teaching lessons in that law. And it was revealing the greater thing that was to come that was needed. Okay? Amen. And so when he tells us in Acts that God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, this includes Moses. Because remember, the next verse says, well, Moses truly said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you. So Moses was even speaking concerning this work of restitution and restoration, and also in the law that he was given unto the people. Now, do that mean that Moses knew everything? No, he just knew what was revealed to him, okay? Just like he mentions that prophet, should the Lord your God raise up unto you? Well, notice he didn't tell you the prophet's name. Now, you can look at it a couple ways. One of the ways you can look at it is this. He only told you what he knew. He did not know the prophet's name. If he'd have known it, more chances than not, he may have told you, unless God would have told him not to tell you. Now, Exodus chapter 22, I'm going to start at verse 1. Now, I'm going to read verses 1, probably to verse 12. And it said, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep or kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for a sheep for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he died, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun shall be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. But he shall make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field, glory be to God, and of the best of his own vineyard shall he make restitution. If fire break out and catch it in thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he have put his hand unto his neighbor's goods. For all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox or ass or sheep or raiment or for any manner of lost thing, which another challenges to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges. And of whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep, and it die or be hurt or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall sell thereof, and he shall not make it good. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. Now, I'm going to stop there. Now, if you notice a common thing that it was saying a lot in these 12 verses, what it talks about what? Restitution and restoring. Now, that's interesting. And notice that the restitution and restoring was put into motion or done when something was what? Lost, stolen, or taken, or destroyed. See, that's what also puts the law, because remember, God made this law. That's what puts the law of restitution, restoration in motion. Okay? So these all things was mentioned in Acts 3, and that the angel of the Lord brought and said, this is the time of the restitution of all things. It's set in motion based on what I'm reading to you here out of this 22nd chapter of Exodus. Things was lost, stolen, taken, destroyed. Do you get that? Now notice something else in this verse too. Okay, just like, for example, verse 1, he said, if a man steal an ox or sheep or kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. Wow. So if he steal your ox, he just don't give you your ox back. He had to give you 5 times as much back. Do you get that? if he steal your sheep and kill it? He didn't give you just a sheep back. He gave you four sheep. Notice that the return was greater. Do you get that? See, God's work of restitution, restoration, that he's causing to come to pass in these last days, the restoration is going to be greater. So, for example, let's get personal. God's going to restore to you what the enemy is taking, and what's going to be restored to you is going to be greater than what was taken. Do you get that? Just like God is going to restore the church and the power to the church. And guess what power is going to be? It's going to be a greater power. See, these lessons was put here in this 22nd chapter of Exodus. That's, once again, he said what in Hebrews 10? The law is a shadow of good things to come. It was a mere reflection. So what was it? It was also a teaching tool. And the people missed it. Why? Because you were only focusing on the natural aspect of it. You wasn't focused on the fullness. Okay? And remember, he said in Acts that he had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, what? The restitution of all things, okay? And see, we have to let the Holy Ghost show us in the Word, especially in the Old Testament. And for those of you Old Testament hollowers that talk about, oh, we ain't no Old Testament church, why are you going in the Old Testament? This is what I'm showing you right here. There's a spiritual aspect in this thing. No. We don't keep the law of Moses and killing animals and shedding their blood. No, we don't do that. But you have to say, what is the spiritual aspect of this? See, God, in giving this law here about the restitution and restoration, it wasn't just to be confined to the natural things. It was a teaching mechanism. It was a teaching tool about the overall plan of God, that in this work of restoration, restitution, it is going to be greater. Now, here's another thing I want to get to you. That restoration, just like I told you and went to the word to you about the acts, when I told you that the restoring of all things is also dealing with the acts, all things you were doing to men. I have men to do unto you, do unto them. That's concerning the acts. What you sow, you're going to reap, okay? So this restoring you see here, like five oxen for an ox, four sheep for a sheep, which means that the restoration is greater, that's the same thing in dealing with the positive and negative side of the restitution and restoration of all things. So what you put out, your return is going to be greater than what you put out. You get what I'm saying? That's whether it is good or evil. You get that? See, one of the things I didn't talk to you about the restoration in dealing with your works also is that the greatest restitution, restoration part is going to be especially when you go into the afterlife. You said, well, what do you mean? Well, in the hereafter, rather. Because if you spend your time here, just like it said in John 5, by those who were resurrected, who did good, they were resurrected unto everlasting life. That everlasting life is going to be way better than what? Than this life right here. Now, on the other side, if you did evil, you would be resurrected to what? Eternal damnation. Eternal damnation is going to be a lot worse than what you put out. You get that? See, what many people don't understand, you know, you got these so-called, let's say, hardcore guys, gangster guys, talking about I'm not afraid to die because I'm a hardcore and all that stuff. And I looks at them. Because you thinking about physical death, and you thinking that there's no payment for the life you live on this earth, and you spend your life gangbanging, doing drive-by shootings, shooting and killing, raping women and all that stuff, and like you didn't give no account of it here on this earth, you're going to give account of it in the hereafter, except it's going to be greater than what you put out. In other words, you're not going to be in hell talking about, bring it on. I ain't phased because I'm a dog. Bring it on. No, you're going to be hollering and all that stuff and say, oh, please, stop this torment. Amen. Because being in hell will break down the strongest and fearless man on this earth. Amen. And then cast over to the lake of fire and brimstone.
where you are forever tormented. I ain't saying about talking about some getting some lunch breaks. Where you forever tormented, okay? My God. That's why on the positive side, I've shared this with people. For example, if God told you sow a seed of $200 or something, guess what you're going to get back? $200? No, you're going to get double or more than what you put in. Why? Because, once again, the law of restitution, restoration, as we've seen in these verses here, what was restored was greater. Do you get what I'm saying? So if God told you to sow $200, you ain't going to get $200 back. You're going to get way more than $200 back because the return is greater. See, that's why I said this at the start in dealing with this broadcast, that Jesus is the greatest teacher that you will ever come across. The things that he used to teach a lesson is just mind-boggling. And like I said, many times I had read the scriptures before. One day when I looked at this, and that's when the Lord opened my eyes, and I said, Lord, you actually was teaching people about this greater work of restitution, restoration, in this law that you gave Moses to give to people. I said, because I'm seeing the word restore and restitution up in here, and I'm like, wow. And then I'm seeing that it is greater. And so when I started reading and studying, I noticed that. I said, my God, Lord, you was teaching. See, like I said, many of us, we have become like the children of Israel at that time that the law was given. We looking at just the natural aspect. And we don't look at the fullness. And this is why I tune out and turn off from these people. That whenever you bring a scripture from the Old Testament, they want to be the first one to jump up and holler and tell me, we are from the Old Testament, rather, we are New Testament people. We ain't Old Testament. I said, wait a minute. Everything from the Old Testament have even been fulfilled. Everything from the Old Testament ain't been fulfilled. Amen. That's why he said in Acts 3 that God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets what? This restitution of all things. Everything they fulfill, people. Amen. And see, the Lord Jesus, he's the greatest. The greatest teacher that you will ever come across. No one can teach like he can. Amen. And see, that thing, there's things that have been lost, things that have been taken, things that have been stolen. God says it's going to be restored. Amen. It's going to be restored. And just like I shared with you yesterday, you know, some supposed to be Christians, they actually think that they can just do evil and good is supposed to come back to them. Because of these places and position they have in these churches. You know, the term big wig, I first heard that term associated with, how should I put it, those in these churches who are looked at in high positions and all that. And some of them are called big wigs because they got a lot of money and might put a lot of money in the church and they're esteemed high and all that. And so many of your big wigs, as they say in the church, have done some evil stuff. And when stuff started hitting them, you know, it's like, it's just repulsive. And they actually think that nothing but good should come to them. You get what I'm saying? And according to God's work or his law or restitution, restoration, not so. I see a lot of these so-called big wigs hide behind people, you know, people that praises them. There's some pastors that praises them, okay? you know, pastor approached the other members in the church about them doing wrong, but this big wig ain't going to say too much. And why? Because, like I said, a lot of these big wigs, some big dollars in that collection plate. Pastors be sitting behind the pulpit, but they ain't sitting at a place where they can't, you know, pop their head around that pulpit and see who putting the what in there. Amen. So, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. See, that's why it's, you know, this work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we go into it even further, I pray that those of you that's listening will pray about this and see God about it. Now, I know God is going to do something because, once again, he has commissioned me to tell this, and that's what I'm going to do. And I know that every one of you is not going to accept this. I know that. God knows that, and I know that. But one thing about the Lord is that he does give people an opportunity. He does give them a chance to do right. You get what I'm saying? He does do that. And he does give them a choice of choosing. Okay? And so when he sends forth his word, he gives you a choice. And you can choose to reject it or you can accept it. Now, like I told you, this work of restitution and restoration, one of the things it's going to bring is true Christianity together. See, right now we all separated. And it just amazes me how that we actually think that God is okay with our present condition. Okay? And, you know, some always thought, well, I'm serving God. I think he's all right with what I'm doing. I think he's pleased with me. Okay. So because you say that, God's supposed to be okay with the overall condition of Christianity. I don't think so. Because when you look in the Bible and looked at when Jesus established even the book of Acts church, and you look at how we are today, you can't tell me that it's alike, because it ain't. It's different. What Jesus set up and the way we set up today is two different things. You get it? Jesus didn't set us up to be all separated like we are. And see, we're separated, but we're trying to claim unity by saying we all Christians and that we all serving the same God. Wow. See, that's what we're trying to do. And we think that works, that's going to take care of everything. Okay? That's what we think. We think it's going to take care of everything. Well, it's not. It's not. You may think that, but it's not. It's not going to take care of everything. Okay? It's not going to do that. Amen. And Christ, we talk about him coming back for his people, and that's true. But we seem to think he's coming back to us in the condition that we're in now. You know, in Ephesians 5, we're told by Paul that he cleansed the church, the water of his word, that he may present it without wrinkle, spot, or blemish. And these separations that we are in Christianity are blemishes. They're spots. They're wrinkles. Okay? So we're not talking about how Christ is working at getting his people in the condition that he had them in before, or had the church in before the church started really waning off. We won't talk about that. We're talking about now how we can be gone any day. In fact, you know, that's the biggest talk now. That talk has become, if I had to say in the last past 15, maybe almost 20 years, I know last 15 years, 15 plus, before I say the year maybe 2004, 2005, I heard about the rapture at times, every now and then at times. I didn't hear too many ministers speaking on it. And it could have been also that I wasn't around at the times they were. But I can say this definitely for the last 15 years or 15 plus, that I didn't heard it so much. It's just amazing. In this past, what, last 3 to 5 years, I'm hearing it very heavily, okay? Because we're looking for an escape goal. Now, some of y'all who my brothers and sisters in Christ, I love you, that teaches the pre-trib, you say, any day now we can be gone. Well, that's why I don't agree with you at. And that's from what I've seen, the scriptures don't say that. The scriptures don't give no reference that at any day you can be gone. Okay? It does give a reference to after a particular time or an event of something happening that Christ comes and we meet him in the air. Because remember, Paul said, we that are alive and remain. Now, why would he have to use the word remain? Okay. He would have to use that, you know, those that are left when everyone else or whatever is removed. You get that? Just like when Jesus fed them the fishes and the loaves of bread, I remember Jesus said, take up the fragments that that which remain would not be lost. Well, my God, that's another teaching tool right there. That goes with 1 Thessalonians that I mentioned to you about, okay? I wish any day now we can be gone. Listen, if anybody would really be rooting for that, it would be me. But the truth of the matter is that is not true. And there's no way Jesus coming back for the body in this condition that the body is now. You got some people in the body who's supposed to be the hand trying to be the foot. And some that be in the foot trying to be the ears. We're so up and out of positions. And see, here's the thing about it. We out of positions, and we're saying God called us to that. Whoa. And see, this way that Christ have created is going to show who God truly called to what. And these people are going to come together and be one. You get that? It's going to be done through this work, a work of restitution and restoration. Amen. Hallelujah. And see, I thank God for this because, no, I don't know everything about this work of restitution and restoration. I don't. I'll be lying to you if I do. But that I do know, I tell unto you. And when God, back here some years ago, started revealing things about this work to me, I said, well, Lord, if you reveal it to me, I'll tell it. And I saw God. God was like, okay, I'm going to see if you would. Okay. And I had got my first test real quick. Okay. Amen. This word is not a popular word. And I don't say that to be braggadocious on myself or trying to make myself someone great. I'm telling you, this word from the Lord about this work, it's not a popular word. And it, among some who claim to be Christians, you're going to see it. Because some is going to get offended because of this word. Some going to say that this word didn't come from God. Well, why is that, Brother Nate? Well, because you have some people, hey, they're comfortable in the place and position that they're in. They're comfortable not being really united totally with, quote, brothers and sisters in Christ. They're comfortable like that. Because a lot of these churches got what? They're in their own little world. Own little world. And to be given a word to say we all need to come together and truly be one, one body, one church. Oh, man, you talking about heads turning away from you. Amen. So me, as well as others who have received it, has to be the bearer of this not so popular message. Amen. And those of you who have given God's word to people based on what you know, even from the Bible, you know what I'm talking about. When people don't want to hear it, turn away from it, back away from it. You've had family members because you had told them the word. You told them, say, hey, drunkenness is sin. It's wrong. You know that you shouldn't do that stuff. And they, oh, my goodness, I hear you go talking to you boring. I don't want to be around you. And now you got some of your family folks, they don't want to be around you. They treat you cold like a dog. And then when you come around, they all scatter and get away. Well, see, in giving this word, this message, this is what some Christians going to do. They're going to run. They're going to scatter away. Oh, here come that brother Nate with that message talking about some Lord sending an angel, calling his people to be one. We already one. We serve the same God. Okay. Well, guess what? These last days have already begun proving that that's not true. It's already begun. And some of us have turned our head from it. Why? Because we don't want to admit it. These last days have started proving that all that claim to be Christianity is not together. It's proving it. And some Christians have closed their eye, put their hands over their eye, hear no evil, and then over their ears, hear no evil, see no evil, all that stuff. But you can't hide from the truth. Amen. So I thank God for this word today. I thank God for all you that have been listening. Don't forget at 7 o'clock, Brother Emmanuel Murphy, come with a broadcast at 7 o'clock p.m. So, once again, Lord say the same. Look for me tomorrow night. Glory be to God. I come on this special broadcast at this time from 4:30 to 5:15. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word of Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.